Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Vayechi, we have six Divrei Torah. Just a quick overview of the Parsha before we get to our Divrei Torah. Fairly simple Parsha, on a high level at least. We don't have that many themes. We have Yaakov's life reaching its end. We have the sickness of Yaakov. In fact, he requests Yosef that he be buried not in Mitzrayim, where they were sojourning right now, but back in Canaan, in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, with the rest of his parents and his grandparents. We have the bracha, the blessing that was given from Yaakov to Ephraim and Manasseh, the two children of Yosef. So those are the grandchildren of Yaakov. And we have the famous switching of the hands that Yaakov puts the stronger hand, the right hand, on the younger of the grandchildren, on Ephraim, rather than Manasseh. Yosef tries to push them back, but Yaakov says this is the right way because Ephraim indeed will be greater. Manasseh will be great as well, but Ephraim will be greater. That's why the right hand will go on Ephraim's head. We have the famous Psukim Hamalach HaGoel Osi, and we have the bracha Yaakov gives to Ephraim and Manasseh, Yitzim Chalokim Ke Ephraim and Manasseh. When Jews are going to give brachas to their children, it will be that they should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. And at the end of the day, when Yaakov gets quite sick, all of his sons are called in and he gives them quote-unquote brachas. The first three really don't sound like brachas given to Reuven, Levi, and Shimon. And we also have, after the passing of Yaakov and Avel Gadol, a tremendous mourning, not only by his children, but throughout Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim had tremendous bracha when Yaakov came. The 7 years of famine ceased at year two because of Yaakov. So we have a tremendous mourning and a tremendous entourage leading Yaakov's body up to the Ma'aras HaMachpelah and returning. Now we are going to start with Dvar Torah. Number one, towards the beginning of the Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu calls Yosef in and he says, I would like to be buried. Swear to me that I will be buried in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. He says the following words, Vasisa imadi chesed v'emes. Please do for me chesed and emes and truth. Chesed is chesed, emes is truth. Now Rashi says as follows, an interesting Rashi and something that we're taught oftentimes. Chesed v'emes. What is a chesed of emes? Chesed sh'osim im ha'meisim hu chesed. Whenever you do a chesed to somebody who has passed away, you know you're not getting anything back because you're doing chesed for somebody who cannot give anything back. And that is what chesed v'emes is, chesed shel emes. A chesed that is really of emes, that is a one-way street, she'enu mitzap eletash mlum gemul, that you're not expecting any repayment for the chesed that you're doing. For example, going to a levaya would be an example, assisting in paying for the cost of a levaya. Anything that is given to a mace that you're not going to be getting anything back, that would be a chesed shel emes. And we have an interesting thing here, chesed shel emes, that is the language that we have when you're not expecting anything back. If we look at the words emes, this is Dvar Torah number one, or maybe it's like a very short Dvar Torah, something to remember. When we look at the word emes, we can remember the concept here of chesed shel emes, that you're not getting paid anything back, because the Rosh Tevos, those letters Aleph, Mem, and Tav, stand for Eino Mitzape Tashlum. Eino, that's an Aleph, Mem is Mitzape Tashlum, is the Tav. You are not expecting any payment, that is Eino Mitzape Tashlum. That is what emes is. Chesed shel emes is Eino Mitzape Tashlum. That is Dvar Torah number one. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number two, and at the introduction of the bracha that Yaakov Avinu is going to give to Ephraim and Manasseh, the pasuk, we're in Perek Memches, pasuk Tezvav, it says something a little bit cryptic. Ve'yavarach es, what does it say there? Yosef Vayomar. It says, and he gave a bracha, Yaakov Avinu gave the bracha to, doesn't say Ephraim and Manasseh, it says to Yosef, but wasn't the bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, not to Yosef? So in fact, the Mat Aaron says the greatest bracha that a father can have is that his children will be successful, that his children will holech b'derech hakov, will follow a proper path and live a successful life. That is the greatest bracha a parent can receive. And accordingly, when we have Yaakov Avinu giving a bracha to his grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh, doesn't say that he gave the bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh. Rather, it says he gave this bracha to Yosef. Yosef was the true recipient of the bracha, because when his children, Ephraim and Manasseh, would be going on the straight path, b'derech hakov, in fact, That is the greatest bracha that Yosef himself could receive when Ephraim and Manasseh are really doing great in life. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, and we have Yaakov Avinu talking about when Kepshuto, the simple understanding is when he went out to war. It says Asalakachti, talking about the city of Shechem. That's when when Levi and Shimon went to war against the males of Shechem. Yaakov Avinu said he had to get up and protect, and he had to Asalakachti miyada emori b'charbi v'kashi. He himself had to get ready for war, and a cheriv is with his sword, and a bekeshet is with his bow and arrow. And in fact, there are two ways to understand this. This is reflected in Rashi as well, that militarily he had to get up. He was worried about the attacks that the non-Jews would have against Klal Yisrael. And when we attacked Shechem, we had two of his sons came and took out all the males in Shechem. He said, we're going to be having retribution here. We're going to be sitting ducks. So he had to as well gird himself for military action. So in fact, there's another approach to this as follows. The Medrash is Becharbi Bekashti, that he got himself ready for war, a different type of war. Bemitzvos, Cherev is Bemitzvos, and his Maisim Tovim. That is indeed how he prepared himself for war. He went to war, wasn't militarily, but it was Mitzvos and Maisim Tovim. What is going on here? So let's take the first approach. The first approach is military. That's easy to understand. He took his Cherev, he got his Keshet, he got his military gear. That's what he was preparing for. He's got his tanks and his planes, etc. But truth be told, the Koheles Yitzchak explains that this would not make sense, because typically in a conventional war, the way a war starts is you start from the distance. So you send in your missiles from the distance, and you send in your bombs from the distance, and that's all at the beginning, and you want to take out certain strategic targets, and that is from the distance, and you don't want to lose troops. But when you need to get more specific, that's when you need to send in the tanks and the infantry and the like, and that's when you get much closer. It's not from the distance anymore. That is a conventional war, and accordingly, the statement here, Bekarbi ubekashti, with my cheriv, with my sword and my keshet and my bow and arrow, this order does not make sense, because you would start out with the opposite order. You would start out with a keshet, you would start out with your bow and arrow, that's from the distance, and only after fighting from the distance, that's when we would get closer and we would use our sword. So that's what the order should be, start from the distance and go closer. So why does it reverse the order here? So that is why it's insinuating that we're talking about a different type of war. We're not talking about the conventional military war, but we're talking about a milchama against the Yetzer Hara, our internal Yetzer Hara. And in fact, when we wage war against the Yetzer Hara, it is in the opposite order. How is that? So it goes as follows. Bitchila misnahel amavak mikarav. You have to start at the inside. You have to start from close, not from the distance. Why? Because you need to get the Yetzer Hara out of your heart, out of inside of you, because why? It's been there since birth. Ki Yetzer Lev Adama Ra Min Urav, it tells us that the Yetzer Hara is there from when we are born, from when we are young. So to start fighting the Yetzer Hara, we have to start from close internal, and we have to get rid of that Yetzer Hara. And only after we are successful at expunging the Yetzer Hara from internal, from the inside of us, internally, that is when we have to continue waging the war from the distance, so it doesn't come back close to us. And accordingly, we see here when we are talking about an unconventional war, a milcham against the Yetzer, we're going to start from close, and then we're going to go far. And that's why we have the alternative view of Yaakov Avinu talking about waging war. A conventional war would be distance and then close, but here we are talking about Cherev and Bekeshet. He started indeed close with the sword, and then from the distance with the Keshet. That is talking about the opposite type of war that you wage from close and from the distance. That is the Milchama against the Yetzer Hara. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and we have as part of the brachos of the children, the not so bracha to Shimon and Levi, and the pasuk says in Perek Mem Tes pasuk Vav. This is Dvar Torah number 4. Achal Kem Bi Yaakov Vafitzem Bi Yisrael. I'm going to divide up Shimon and Levi. They are very independent-minded. They are very brazen individuals. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, this is actually Yaakov is saying, as a messenger for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's divide them up, spread them out, because if they are close together, if we keep Yaakov, if we keep Shimon and Levi in their brazenness and they're too much independent-minded, we have a concern if we make them wealthy individuals. There is no one who's going to be able to stop the brazenness. Accordingly, we need to take some drastic steps. We're going to make them anim. So how did we make them anim? So Rashi says as follows, Ein lecha anim sofrim maladei tinokos ela mishimon. They were impoverished. They were the sofrim. They were the ones who were teaching the children, and accordingly, they were dependent on other people. And so what's going on here is as follows. It wasn't only Shimon. It was Levi as follows. Achalkem b'Yaakov. I'm going to divide them up. Throughout Klal Yisrael, I'm going to disperse them. And accordingly, we're going to look at Shimon and Levi separately. They were dispersed in different ways. When it came to Shimon, the Shevet of Shimon, as we just mentioned, they were the poor Sofrim, Malamdei Tinokos, the teachers that they had to go around and be teaching people and trying to make a little bit money. The salaries are not very high when it comes to Malamdei Tinokos. And in addition, when it came to the Shevet of Levi, they had to go around. They didn't have their own place to live. They had to go around throughout society and collect. If they were the Kohanim, the Truma. If the Levim, the Maaser Rishon. They had to be collecting in order to earn their keep. So we have both of Shimon and Levi in very different ways, needing to be spread out, dispersed in Klal Yisrael to earn their parnasa. So we have 2 points here. They were not Ashirim, so that is going to be point number one, that they're not going to be able to be too brazen. And number two, they're going to be dispersed and not together, also weakening them. Shimon, because he was out there trying to teach Klal Yisrael and get paid for that. And Levi, the way that they supported themselves were Trumas and Maisus. And accordingly, the problem with Shimon and Levi is because they were so independent. They weren't taking feedback. Now they're going to have to go to the other extreme. And this is the intention of Yaakov saying, I'm going to disperse them. That accordingly, the Melamed, this is going to be Shimon. He is going to have tremendous patience. Somebody who's teaching has to be a very patient person. And that is something that Shimon did not have initially. And in addition, when it came to Levi, somebody who is going and he's having to collect and going to the grain houses where people are threshing their grains. This is the Shevet of Levi. In order to get their Trumas and Maasros, he's also going to be mashpil himself. He's going to have to make himself lowly. It's not like he can be in charge of everything and independent and brazen. So accordingly, this is the treatment of Shimon and Levi. They started out being too brazen and independent. And accordingly, we're going to take them, says Yaakov Avinu, to the other extreme. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5. Short, but a beautiful Dvar Torah. When it came to the bracha of Yehuda, it says as follows, Yehuda, you are going to be acknowledged by your brothers. In other words, you're going to be the king. Where in Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Ches, it says, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. You yourself are going to be acknowledged as the leader by your brothers. And the Shari Simcha focuses on Yehuda, ata. It's going to be all about you, which means Yehuda, they're going to look up to you, not because of something external. They're not going to be looking up to you because you have wealth or you have kavod or some other external thing, but because you in of your essence are such an amazing person. You are a leader. You are for them. You are for Klal Yisrael. They're going to look up to you because of your character traits. That is what you are. That's something internal to you as opposed to something that's external. And so many times in life nowadays, we look up to people because of externalities. We look up to people because they've made wealth or they've made whatever it may be. But it's an external thing that we're looking up to. That doesn't change the person. And what we're learning from here, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha, when we're looking up to somebody, it has to be because of the internal, the intrinsic values of the individual, the intrinsic greatness of the individual, and not because of something external to that individual. Now we are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6 and continuing with Yehuda. Yaakov, in fact, we're in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Ches, Yaakov thought Yehuda was responsible for the sale of Yosef. And that makes sense, in fact, because Yosef's dream was, I'm going to be the leader. And that was a frontal attack against, apparently, would be an attack against Yehuda, who was going to be the Melech. So we would have thought that Yehuda would be instrumental in getting rid of that threat, in getting rid of Yosef. And that's why Yaakov indeed thought that Yehuda had some responsibility in getting rid of Yosef. But in fact, that was not correct. It was Yehuda who actually was instrumental in saving Yosef. Don't sell him. So it says as follows, Gur Aryeh Yehuda Miteref Bini Alisa. Miteref Bini Alisa means from the prey you elevated yourself. From the prey, you elevated yourself. So I thought initially that you were the prey, that you were responsible. And in fact, it could have been that you were responsible because you were Nogea Dover. He was kind of becoming and taking away your leadership role. The Mavakshe Eshlemush says the exact opposite. It was in fact Yehuda acting, and this is what a true leader is, acting against his own better, meaning for his personal self-interest. He should have sold off Yosef, but he did not act like that. A true leader is going to say, even when it's against my own personal self-interest, I'm going to do the right thing. That is right for the klal. That is right for everyone. And that's what we see, and this is the acknowledgement of Yaakov Avinu, that Yehuda, even though it wasn't in your self-interest, you were there to save Yosef, not to go against him. And that's not the only time. We see the same thing when it came to Tamar, when Yehuda made the decree that she's going to be put to death, and she sent him quietly the message that he was the father of her child, and he admits it. He says, Tzadka, she's right, Mimenia, that child is mine. Again, against his own self-interest, but we have Yehuda saying, as a leader, I have to do the right thing. And indeed, that's an important message, not only to leaders, but to everyone, to not act because of self-interest, but indeed to be guided by doing the right thing, even when it's against our own self-interest. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.